We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back. One last hour of Overnight America, at least live. Then for the replay hours after midnight, a lot to get to, including Chris Raby at the winter meetings. Got an article about someone that's trying to make everything racist, I guess. And then in the second hour between 1 and 2, Lance LaRusso is a former law enforcement officer, and he is now a lawyer. He talks about some issues with police. And in fact, it's a really good hour in that's online now at KMOX.com/ONA. If you have the technical savvy to take care of something like that, you can go listen to it right now if you really wanted to. I want to get a little bit on the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings that happened earlier today. Lindsey Graham had some really good things to say, but CNN completely ignored it and got blasted online for that. So good for people to point out the fact that CNN is selectively deciding not to cover certain things when it goes against their own biases. So I wanted to get to that, but I have to cover this one story because I missed it earlier and I wanted to talk about it, but we ran out of time. So two things I wanted to get to. KMOX.com has this one story. Major road construction happening in 2020 on 64 for the new stadium, then the 44 for the Merrimack River. So they include removing some of the existing ramps at 64 and 22nd Street and rebuilding Jefferson Interchange. That's what we need. Don't you just love construction? Oh, I look forward to the joys of construction, the joys of construct. That's a song that's never going to be written, ever. Assistant Direct Engineer, or District Engineer, Tom Evers tells KMOX that they'll improve access to the NGA site, eliminate some confusion at the same time. I don't know. This is what's going to happen. It's just going to be a major inconvenience. Now, I wasn't here. Was it when they redid 6440? Was there a time where that was out for like a year or two? They just said, you know what? We could just have it a mess forever, and we just do part of it, and we just do part of it here, and it'll be like an ongoing construction, or we could just shut it down and do it all. Am I getting it wrong? Was that? I don't remember. I'd have to talk to Michael Calhoun about that. But he was remembering reporting on it and just what a complete mess that was. There's nothing worse than when they shut down an interstate. But this sounds like it's just the ramp, kind of where that Major League Soccer stadium would go if they want to start getting that land ready. That seems to be a natural fit. But as long as they're not closing any other ramps, if they can get all that other stuff down, like over here in downtown, there's a ramp to get on and off 64 right by Enterprise Center. And I normally would use that one when I'm here during the day or whatever, and it's just easy to hop down Tucker and do that sort of thing. But it was closed for the longest time. As long as they get all these other ones out of the way first so you're not closing all the ramps and access to an interstate at the same time, then they can that's a preferable. But that story's at KMOX.com. MoDOT also gearing up for a major I-270 project in North County. Man, construction all over again. I lived in Michigan when it was constant construction. Forever construction. One other story, and this is from the St. Louis Public Radio. They did an interview with Missouri State Auditor Nicole Galloway. Do I need to speak NPR-ish in order to do an article like this? St. Louis has the highest sales tax rates in the state of Missouri. Some people of the city see rates as high as 11.679%, but the revenue doesn't all go to the government. That's pretty NPR-ish. Is that good enough for NPR? Or what do I need to make it more NPR-y? Do I need to do more snotty? Okay, I need to be more snotty. Or no, I need to plug my nose.
Missouri State Auditor Nicole Galloway took on to the city's poor oversight of these districts in an audit last month.
That's more NPR. Is that pretty good? You're not... Okay, I need some more... I need some mad sound. All right, so the one thing I noticed in this article, from the districts there. And it's a really good point. Now, she's running for governor, sure. Washington Avenue Transportation Development District assesses a 1% sales tax on certain businesses in downtown St. Louis. And, you know, even Galloway came up and she mentioned that all of these different TIFs and these taxes in certain places where you can get upwards of, what, 11, 12%. And we even saw our own Kevin Killeen and people from the newsroom pointing out just how absurd it is if you go and buy a sandwich somewhere, you get a 10, 11% tax. So Galloway criticized the lack of comprehensive economic development and what was promised that these taxes would go towards. And she uses an example. She says in some cases, let me see if I can find that one example that she mentioned. Okay, it says, Galloway said the money was supposed to subsidize a parking lot open to the public, yet the audit says the parking lot's owners are instead charging their residential tenants to use the gated space, even though they continue to collect taxes for sales money. So this money goes somewhere. You know, government's not using it. What's being spent on it? And now think about this, too, down in the Loop Trolley area, right around the route of it. They're all paying taxes there. Is there much oversight to that? I don't know. How many different areas have their own taxes? It's a really confusing thing. So she criticized the city. Galloway also noted that her comprehensive audit of the city of St. Louis continues, with many more city departments expected to be released in the first half of 2020. And she said she'll keep an eye out on the city's ongoing exploration of the airport privatization. And that's a big topic, too. Lots to get to there. So I thought it was important to get that out there. If not for anything, I just wanted to do my
NPR impersonation.
What would this NPR show, like if it's called Overnight America, NPR would call it America's Night Airwaves or something. No, that doesn't work right either. I should have thought this out ahead of time. That's basically the gist of this show. Should have thought about it before I said it. And then I just shuffle some papers around. If this is the first time you've listened to the show, this is basically what we do for 4 hours. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
America. All right. CNN skipped Lindsey Graham's opening statement before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. I want to read one part. And you know what? This is just hilarious that people immediately took note on social media, and rightfully so. Like Ari Fleischer said, CNN is not taking the Senate Horowitz hearing live. Unbelievable. A perfect example of how bias works. It's not just what they cover. It's what they don't cover. There was one part that Rona McDaniel mentioned on Twitter, said CNN aired everything Schiff and Nadler had to say. Why aren't they showing Lindsey Graham? It's because the facts of how the FBI mistreated Donald Trump contradict their coverage over the last 3 years. And Paul Hallbrook mentioned this on Twitter, and this is a great, great, great statement. He said, they must protect their sensitive viewers from the truth. Interpretation? CNN viewers never get all the news. I want to highlight and read that again. CNN viewers never get all the news. Senator Lindsey Graham today made an opening statement before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it's funny, they'll go wall to wall. They'll air all of this and they'll air everything that they want to air. But they'll duck out as soon as there's some sort of a opposing viewpoint that goes against what their network stands for. Because keep in mind, their network doesn't stand for news or truth. Their network stands for what their network stands for. It's their own interpretation of what's going on. They're as biased as anyone else. They're not news. And CNN, which is often criticized for presenting news from a liberal perspective while claiming to be nonpartisan, skipped Graham's opening remarks. MSNBC even covered it. Take that into consideration. CNN's not this unbiased, right down the middle type of commentary. No, they're not. The GOP rapid response on this noticed and decided to get out there and put a series of tweets out So they took advantage of this. I don't know if President Trump mentioned anything. Maybe he did. I didn't see it in this one tweet. But either way, there were a couple of moments today that are worth repeating. And Horowitz today, the inspector general, defended his Trump-Russia report, but is, quote, deeply concerned about FBI surveillance failures, as he should be. Let me play a couple of things from earlier today. And maybe this will be good to bring up. Okay. Adam Schiff, this isn't from the hearing. I think this is from outside the hearing. Someone was asking him about why are they doing this.
The argument, why don't you just wait, amounts to this. Why don't you just let him cheat in one more election? Why not let him cheat just one more time? Why not let him have foreign help just one more time?
You know, it's funny because for the longest time it was, wait till the Mueller report comes out. Oh, we're going to get him. They were salivating. They were, you know, trying to make it sound like that was going to be the thing that was going to be the end of Donald Trump. And when it came and gone and the extensive report comes out and they realized there wasn't this collaborative force between Russia and Donald Trump, they're still trying to push this fake narrative out there. I mean, that's what CNN would like to broadcast. Here is, I think this is McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy.
The idea of a vote of impeachment, the only higher vote I think we'd have a member of Congress is whether we send women or men out to war. But the way they have handled this from the very beginning, I know they set a timeline and they wanted to keep their timeline. They just never paid attention to the facts. So they changed the rules to meet their timeline.
Okay. That leads us to today. And Horowitz defending his report, but deeply concerned with the way it was surveilled. Lindsey Graham, and I want you to pay very close attention to how he asks these questions, because they're refusing to believe that there's a possibility there's any bias in the way that they conducted themselves. And maybe not as an organization in a full capacity as the FBI, but at least the people inside that had some decision making. Here's Lindsey Graham. And listen, listen very carefully.
They came a point to where surveilling Carter Page became unlawful.
I will let the court decide that. The court has this report and will make that decision.
Let's put it this way. If you don't have a legal foundation to surveil somebody and you keep doing it, is that bad?
Absolutely.
Is that spying?
It's illegal surveillance. It's not court-authorized
whatever
surveillance.
Whatever illegal surveillance means, they did it. So all this stuff that they didn't illegally surveil Trump's campaign, they did, because they had no legal basis after the January 2017 data dump by the Russian guy to believe that the dossier was reliable. They alter exculpatory information in June of 2017 that would have further proven that Carter Page is not a Russian agent. He was actually working with the CIA. Let me ask you very directly, do you believe Carter Page is or ever was an agent of the Russian government trying to do harm to his country?
I'm going to refer to the evidence we found here, which is that at the the FBI, at the end of these FISAs, told us that they had found no evidence to corroborate the allegations in the Steele dossier related to him.
It's not that clean, folks. They knew and they ignored it. And they continued to surveil him. Why? Why did they doctor the email? The people who continued getting warrants after they knew it wasn't legitimate had a bias that reeked. How this thing was open, I don't know, but I can tell you Mr. Durham has a different view. I respect your view that they may have been a lawful predicate, giving them every benefit of the doubt, but one of the people pushing this was Peter Strzok from day one. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a...
All right, so we'll cut it off there. But Lindsey Graham was talking to Horowitz there, and this is what I think it's very important to point out. Either the abuses that were being exploited through this FISA process were typical or they were non-typical. Now, the FBI makes it sound like this is non-typical, but still, let's just look at it either way. If the FBI says they found 17 significant inaccuracies and omissions, we find out that emails were being doctored. We're finding out that once they continued along their investigation, they were reapplying for this FISA with old information, not negating the things that they found out to be not true. So when they continue to put these in and they continue to, their surveillance, maybe that process would have been stunted or stopped if they would have been truthful in the things they were finding while the process was going on, but they decided not to do that. So I'm just going to throw this out there. If the way that they applied here was not typical, as in, let's just give the FBI the benefit of the doubt, and let's say that normally when they try to put surveillance on someone, they don't make significant inaccuracies and omissions over and over and over and over and over. Hold on, there were 17 of them. I got to say, let me pull the point. 17 omissions. Over and 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 over. That's a lot of mistakes. So maybe, perhaps, the people that were responsible for making those mistakes had another motivation. Maybe there was a specific target in mind and not the truth in mind. And if that's the case, how do you argue against bias? Either it's full incompetency, either it's they're trying to hide the truth, whatever it may be. You tell me. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Jay, who's calling in. Hi.
You know, Lindsey Graham, I used to really like Lindsey Graham when he was a disciple of John McCain. And I sure wish John McCain was still alive right now. Because I don't think Lindsey would be as far off the reservation as he is or as tight as Trump. Stephen Colbert played a piece today or tonight with Lindsey Graham saying how crazy Trump was, how he was an idiot and all that kind of stuff. And then they melded it with what he said today about what Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, I guess, said about him. But it was really funny how basically Lindsey used to say the same stuff. And by the way, those were private emails. They had nothing to do with the proceeding and getting the inquiry together and going and such. Ryan Feinstein brought up that there's no connection between all those personal things, emails. They shouldn't have done it, but there were Republicans doing the same stuff. Of course, Trump and company and Lindsey don't mention that.
Well, that's how would you defend doctoring emails? You said they had zero effect on the course of the investigation. What's the point of doctoring them? They were below the
people that started the thing. They were lower level than the people that started the inquiry. I think the headline was from like it was earlier in the day or yesterday that there was no political bias to get the thing started, to get the inquiry started.
That's what Horowitz mentioned, yes.
Yes, that's the headline out of that report. I understand the Republicans
You'll stop there and you won't say
anything
else?
No, they didn't stop there. They continued. I mean, you had a big hearing today, so it didn't stop there. And they made it a big deal. Just remember that the Mueller report put people in jail, indicted people. You know, you want a list of some of the people? Flynn and the attorney for Trump and the personal attorney at that time, not Rudy Giuliani. He might get his own in the future. But, you know, I don't see it as clear cut as you are making it sound today or this evening.
All right, so let's put this back. So when they say there's 17 significant inaccuracies and omissions, what does that mean to you?
Well, the FISA warrant situation was not like it should be, and that problem that does need to be fixed. And Christopher Wray, the FBI director, should work on getting that done. And I believe I heard Kamala Harris and other senators say they want to get that straightened out. Sure, that should be done.
One of the major problems that people have been bringing up, and mostly the Republicans have been bringing up, and it's a very valid problem, that through the process and through the reapplications of this FISA warrant, that they were using information that was outdated. They weren't updating with some of their current findings, which gave the wrong impression on these. Do you find that to be appropriate or inappropriate?
That's probably inappropriate.
Okay. So do you think
I'm not going to defend their process. Okay. That was all about Carter Page, right?
Well, let's, let's say if this, that was the means to keep this investigation going and to string it along and to continue to surveil. And, you know, there's still some questions on how they decided to use the tactics and what tactics they used. And if they're doing that on a candidate that's running for presidency, you don't see why some people would see that as an abuse?
Weren't people saying that same thing about FISA warrants when they were dealing with terrorists, that they had problems there, too? Wasn't that an issue that they didn't like, that, that there was FISA warrants that might not have been done properly there also? So it's been a problem. I'll grant you that. But again, no political bias to get this investigation started.
I don't know. I'll say this, too. It seems like very often when it comes to Donald Trump, it's the ends justify the means. They'll do anything they can. And they've been doing that over and over for the past 4 years.
And they've found crooked dealings with a lot of his people. Like I said, Flynn and all those guys. I can't remember all the names right now. But
It's amazing the things they got hooked on before Donald Trump was running for office, in these foreign dealings they were doing that had nothing to do with the presidency and him running for office. It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, I think the pain for hookers, the silence in a Stormy Daniels and all that stuff. I mean, that was all Donald. There's a lot of smoke around this guy. I'll just say that.
Mm. Did you just call Stormy Daniels a hooker?
I shouldn't have called her that.
But, I was going to say Jay.
Well,
wow.
Hey, the other girl is now trying to sue Fox. By the way, your guy's station is turning more and more into a Fox like station, I think.
Well, if we're covering this stuff, I mean, it's timely. Sure, it's political and it's timely, and you know, people got their opinions. I certainly have my opinion.
You guys are sure verging right more and more.
Well, we are, you know, the personalities are what they are. That's the thing. You know, luckily the news does their own thing and the personalities do their own thing. And that's what we do. You know, people have their opinions.
I guess, you know, you follow Rush like Reardon does. He's got to kind of keep that show going along locally. So he does the same oriented stuff, just maybe on a local level.
Yeah, tell you that I don't think they listen to each other. Honestly, I don't think Reardon ever has Rush Limbaugh on. I've never seen him listen to Limbaugh in the studio.
Hey, I got to tell you one thing about his show. Probably a month and a half ago, they were talking about Greta Thunberg, the little 15-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. They were saying in about a week, she'll be forgotten and such. I think I just heard that she is going to be or is Time's Person of the Year. And those guys on the round table were going, she'll be history in a week. Yeah. She won't be around.
I'm kind of surprised. I'm really surprised they're dragging her along this long. Honestly,
I think it's great. She is motivating a new generation to climate change, and I think it's great.
Yeah, well, okay. I think she has she's a non-impact, but I mean, Time thinks they're
non-impact. Yeah, that's right. She's only got the kids. You see, your demographics are way different than that generation too. I'm not part of that generation. Well, long way.
That's
from
the thing.
It, but
that's the thing. They just had this other summit, and she was there, but they didn't want it. No one wanted to talk to her. I mean, she's kind of like a, you know, she did her thing, and she was that novelty for that time, and now she's, you know, that this it's past. She can go on and do her speeches and do her things.
That's why she's on the cover of this magazine.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If any of the political leaders of the world wanted to talk to her, they had the opportunity and none of them did. So that should say something.
Well,
that's it. I mean, they could put her on the cover. I mean, she doesn't mean she's legitimate when it comes to that.
She's inspiring a lot of kids. It's the kids that she's inspiring, not the political leaders necessarily.
Oh, okay. That could be true, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Uh-huh. See ya.
Bye. Oh, yeah, Greta. How dare you? How dare you? I saw the Babylon Bee put that article out, which was government is going to mandate that you watch her at all gas station videos or something like that. I should find that headline. It was pretty funny. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I got some more Lindsey Graham to play because if CNN's going to skip it, we're not going to. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
America, at least for the next 20 minutes or so. Take some of your calls. If there's any left out there, let's see, 314-436-7900. Someone texted in a YouTube video link. I'm afraid to click links that come in through the text messaging. So if you're that person that messaged me that, why don't you give me a description of what it is first? Just don't click on random links. That's how you get yourself in trouble at work. There was a couple of other moments between Lindsey Graham and the investor general, the IG Horowitz that happened earlier today, the Inspector General Michael Horowitz, that happened during the hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it has to do with Christopher Steele. Let me play this for you.
Christopher Steele, is it fair to say that he had a political bias against Donald Trump?
He, given who he was paid for, there was a bias that needed to be disclosed to the court.
Does it seem that he all personally had a bias, not just because he's on the payroll of the Democratic Party, but he...
Well, we found in the course of this and heard from Mr. Orr about his comment to him that he was desperate to prevent Mr. Trump's election.
Again, this is the guy that provides the dossier that gives the warrant over the top against Carter Page. He's paid for by the Democratic Party, and he personally believes it's bad for Donald Trump to win. He's marketing the dossier, which is a bunch of garbage, to anybody and everybody. To me, that's important. Is that important to you?
Any evidence of bias is supposed to be disclosed to the court and to the department lawyers.
Okay.
How about, you know, the thing is, when we get our calls, and I'm glad Jay calls in and I'm glad Jay listens, I just come to different conclusions when I hear and see these different things. I think they're relevant. I don't think they're irrelevant. When you use this as a way to surveil a person that's running to be president of the United States, it's absolutely, think about it this way. Now, you have the whole system set up, and this is under President Barack Obama at the time. And you have people in there that are very sympathetic because they've worked there. They may be career, they may be not, but sometimes appointed during that time. And then you have certain biases that are in place that have been documented pretty freely. In some cases, people that were part of the investigation with Strzok and Page. And you also find that now there's disclosures that weren't going in that could have influenced the course of this investigation with these FISA warrants. There were things not disclosed on top of biases, which are different facts as part of their investigation not being updated in order to keep the FISA process going along. And they use that as a way, and they continue to use that to surveil the person that's running for president. In this case, Donald Trump, the opposition of the person that's in the White House at the time. They don't like to mention who was paying for some of this opposition research and how that was being used as the core of this investigation. They don't like to think of the fact that Donald Trump, by the way, is just getting absolutely nailed by the left-leaning media over and over and over again, that by talking to Ukraine and saying, hey, whatever happened to this Joe Biden thing, and people go absolutely crazy and they say, oh, that's him trying to influence this election. That's him trying, that's his opposition. That's his opponent. Look at him trying to do this. He's cheating again. Oh, we can't have this happen. We need to impeach. We need to kick him out of office. So they go absolutely crazy with their hair on fire over something like this. When how long were they at, I mean, literally spying on their opposition in using the U.S. government to do that? Now, that's a tenfold, a hundredfold worse than talking as president of the United States to another foreign leader and asking a question. That's a thousand times worse. And for some reason, none of that is relevant because you won't accept the fact that it was totally inappropriate. But there's so much hatred towards Donald Trump. It's the ends justify the means. It doesn't matter if it was appropriate or not. It doesn't matter if there was bias. It doesn't matter if there was any actual evidence backing it up. They're just going to go with opposition research, and they're going to go with opinion before they go with fact. That's where we're at, and that's what we're seeing today. Let me read this headline one more time. CNN skips Lindsey Graham's opening statement before Senate Judiciary Committee. They literally covered everything under the sun, everything else under the sun, as long as it matched their own bias. But as soon as Lindsey Graham took the microphone, we don't need that. CNN's often criticized for presenting news with a liberal perspective, but there it is. It's just worth mentioning. It's not worth ignoring. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
You know, I haven't played this today. I've been meaning to. I said I played every day.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
What do you think any of that means? That's Joe Biden, everybody. You know, we're about a week away from another presidential debate next Thursday, the 19th. Can you believe that? Well, the Democratic debate. Maybe not presidential, but Democratic, we should say. And it's worth mentioning that we will have our friends on, like Rich Rubino, afterwards. And we'll also have analysis on how the actual moderators handle themselves with Kristen Arnold. We always enjoy our time with them. Just a few things to get to before we say goodnight. There was one story over in the UK there. So the woman who accuses Prince Andrew of having sex with her when she was 17 appears to have tweeted an eerie message. I'm going to read this message to you. It says, "I am making it publicly known that in no way, shape, or form am I suicidal." She's a former American. I think she now lives in Queensland overseas. She says, as a teenager, she was trafficked to Jeffrey Epstein to have sex, also with Prince Andrew in 2001. Oh, trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein, I should say. Now, Jeffrey Epstein, no longer of this world. Many people believe Epstein was murdered in an effort to keep him quiet. So when they see this tweet that comes out, making it publicly known that in no way, shape, or form am I suicidal, would indicate that she's saying that if something happens to me, don't believe it, that it was suicide. Now, that's kind of a cryptic, interesting thing to tweet out, don't you think? She's 36 years old. She gave an interview with the BBC program Panorama, and she alleged that she'd been forced to have sex with Prince Andrew three times, one in New York, one in London, and one in the Caribbean island on Jeffrey Epstein's private creepy pedophile island. The Duke of York also said he could not recall Epstein taking a picture of the royals with the hand around Guthrie's waist, but there are pictures and evidence of these things. Some people say it may be doctored, but the ones that are saying it's doctored are basically the ones that are defending it. There's no, I think any forensic people that have looked at this, no credible forensic person have said that this is doctored. There's a lot of different pictures that would circle online and would be certainly doctorable. But not this one. So not looking too good. And the thing that interests me the most in this whole case is that there are victims that are going to be suing the estate of Jeffrey Epstein. So just because he's no longer alive doesn't mean that some of these things that would have been discovered at trial will just go undiscovered for the rest of time. In fact, as they go through this process, there's going to be a couple of things that happen. Either they settle out of court and the Epstein estate pays and pays and pays these victims, or you get one person that says, it's not about that. We're going to take this all the way in. We're going to go through discovery. We're going to get all of this stuff out. And anyone associated with Jeffrey Epstein, you better watch out. That may very well happen because there's many different accusers that are out there right now. And who do you think may be implemented in that? Well, number one, Bill Clinton. There's a lot of evidence that Bill Clinton not only flew on Jeffrey Epstein's private jet, there's evidence that he was at the private island, evidence that he stayed at the ranch. The flight logs are there, and the witnesses say that Bill Clinton was at all of these different places. Now, imagine what kind of interesting information could get out there if, let's say, some video surveillance shows them at the right place at the right time with some of these other victims that are claiming these things. It's not a good look all the way around, and who knows who else is involved with this. There's a lot of people that have been accused to be on these planes and partying, and it's not a good look. That's going to play out. So I can see why she would put a tweet like that out there just to make it well known ahead of time. What else we got here? Oh, this is kind of interesting. I might have to save this for tomorrow. In Dallas, a pizza delivery driver shot and killed a 15-year-old armed suspect that tried to rob him. I wonder how many times pizza delivery drivers, or if you want to modernize it, how many times people just delivering food, Grubhub people, or, you know, you use one of those services where you can get food delivered to your door from restaurants that participate. I wonder how many of them actually carry weapons on them. Percentage-wise, if I had to guess, 10% maybe? Does that seem high? Does that seem low? Well, in Dallas, there was a story where a delivery driver was attacked, shot 5 times, in critical condition right now, but expected to survive. That probably scared a lot of people that deliver in that area. Well, what happened? One pizza delivery driver for Papa John's was at gunpoint. Two 15-year-old suspects apparently tried to rob him at gunpoint. Didn't have any of it. Fought back, fired back. One of them was killed. Another one was arrested. Police say the person, the driver, had a license to carry. And because of the people there were able to witness this, he's not going to be in trouble for it, thank goodness. But he was questioned by police. It makes me wonder how many people driving delivery or taxi or Uber or Lyft or any of these actually carry. So maybe we'll do that story tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about it because I'm very curious. We just don't have time tonight. We got the replay hours coming up. So after midnight, we look back at the first 2 hours of the show. If you want to hear our discussions with Chris Raby and the winter meetings, that's going to be a good one. Don't miss that. And Lance LaRusso after 1 a.m., former law enforcement officer, now lawyer, talks about just some of the pressures and the things, just issues in general when it comes to policing. And I got a lot of examples I put out there for him to talk about that we're experiencing here in St. Louis. Those are great, great conversations. You can listen to them live here on KMOX, or you can go download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA. Make it your favorite podcast. Find it on whatever podcast app you use. Hit the subscribe button. Leave a nice review. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Hope that we can reconvene tomorrow after Thursday night football. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
The lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.